List, you want to eat four string cheeses at once, or is that too many? How about if I deep fried them and covered them in pizza sauce?
Find out next on Junk Food.
Yeah, welcome to Junk Food, the podcast about junk food, where we rate and review mystery treats to determine which one will be the undisputed champion of snacks. I'm your host, Mike. Alongside me, as always, Alyssa.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, Liz.
So, what is next to the USA?
What's next to the USA? Next to?
USB.
Oh, come on. What? Why do you think that's so funny? Oh my goodness.
All of the other ones I say are so bad. That was
You think that one was the good one? You are cracking up over here. Compose yourself, lady. Are we okay? Well, that was a dad joke, a joke you tell to your dad. If you'd like to submit a dad joke for Alyssa to tell me on the show, you can send it in to us via X or Threads or Blue Sky Social at Junk Feud Pod or via email to junkfeudpod@gmail.com. Liz.
Yeah.
Welcome back once again to the world's yeetest podcast.
The yeetest show on earth, very mid, giving them the egg, super bussing, hitting them with the Riz each and every week.
Liz.
Snack attack.
Yeah, snack attack. Hey, I didn't have really anything for the intro this week, but we've been eating a lot of snacks that we haven't had a chance to talk about on the show. I thought this would be a good place to recap all of those and give some of our initial thoughts on some things that were, you know, either new or new to us. So Liz, let's go through it.
All right, start us off.
Yeah, you want to hear what I had?
What?
I had these things called Loaded Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereals.
Those are not worth discussing.
Well, yeah, I didn't think so. I was super excited for these. Obviously, I think, we think, it's a former reigning, defending, undisputed champion of snacks on this show, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, one of the best breakfast cereals of all time.
One of the greatest snacks.
Yeah, I would agree. The great flavor profile, excellent texture, just well done all around. But, Liz, General Mills has been putting the Cinnamon Toast Crunch flavor on just about anything. We had Cinnamon Toast Crunch minis, and they were okay. We thought the Cocoa Puffs minis were really good. Cinnamon Toast Crunch minis, just okay. Loaded Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Alyssa, was an attempt to remake Crave cereal. Do you remember what Crave cereal was?
No.
Crave cereal were these little pillows of wheat biscuits that had a filling inside, Liz. Some of them were filled with chocolate cream, some were filled with vanilla cream, some were filled, I think there was even a cookie dough flavor, possibly.
Hmm.
It sounds like a good idea to fill a cereal with some sort of thing inside, like a frosting or a cream or an icing or something that would complement the cereal. And that was the idea here behind Loaded Cinnamon Toast Crunch. There's also Loaded Trix, I think. And I want to say maybe Loaded Cocoa Puffs. I can't remember, but I tried the Loaded Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Everything was wrong with this, Alyssa.
Yeah.
It was bad. First of all, the filling that was inside the loaded cereal piece was just like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like cake icing, like cake frosting almost. Just a sickly sweet, crunchy, vanilla, sugary paste. So it wasn't like an oozy, gooey filling like you would expect. Like a marshmallowy kind of filling would have worked well there. But instead, it was this hard, chalky, sugary vanilla filling. Not good, incredibly sweet. And the Cinnadust on the outside of these pillow pieces was barely there, Liz. It was like a faint dusting. Did you try these when I had the box?
No, but I saw them.
Yeah, and well, I'm glad you didn't get a chance to try them because they weren't worth trying. They were very bad. I was super disappointed in these.
Yeah.
D plus? Oof. Yeah, like real bad.
You know what was exciting?
What was that, bud?
I got to leave school early.
Again? Today? For what?
I was tired.
What? You got to leave school early because you were tired. How did this happen?
I don't know.
Why do you get so excited about not going to school?
Because I had eighth period science.
Oh, you mean science, the class that you told me you're super worried about because you have a test tomorrow and you don't understand the material and you didn't study?
Yeah.
That class that you skipped today?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You better hope this show gets super popular, kid, because you're going to need a fallback plan if you don't go to school.
It's okay. I'll be like Otis Amber in the Westing game, fourth grade dropout.
I don't know any of those words that you
exactly, just said. Exactly, because I learned it at school, so boom.
Oh, all right. Well, fine. You know what I learned at school? No, actually, surprisingly, they do not teach you that, and we're making it up as we go along. Liz, I was going to say I learned at school how to appreciate some of the finer things in life, like this next snack that I had, which was, if you can believe this, Nitro Pepsi.
You tried it?
I did. So, so I didn't try the ones we got today, because today we got the vanilla flavored Nitro Pepsi. But the other night, I had to very late at night take a long drive, and I was a little bit sleepy. So on the way to where I was going, I stopped at a Wawa, and I saw that they had these big 16-ounce cans of Nitro Pepsi, and I'd always wanted to try this, so I grabbed one. And do you know what Nitro Pepsi is, Alyssa?
It's just an energy drink.
So it sounds like it would be an energy drink, but it's not. In fact, it is Pepsi that is carbonated with nitrogen, Alyssa.
Like it smokes?
Instead of carbon dioxide. So I guess it's not really carbonated. It's nitrogenated. Yeah, the idea is that if you infuse nitrogen into a liquid, like you do, for example, with a beer like Guinness that comes in a can, or a nitro cold brew, Liz, you've seen those, like the coffee drinks.
Mm-hmm.
So they're infused with nitrogen, which makes these little tiny bubbles instead of the big lazy bubbles that you get with a carbonated soda, like a regular Pepsi. And it has the effect of making the soda taste and feel almost like it's flat, but not quite, because there are smaller bubbles that are sort of like cruising around your tongue instead of popping in your mouth. And it makes the soda really creamy and puts like a float of foam on the top of it, like a head, like a beer would have.
Oh.
So it was really good. It was, I generally don't like Pepsi. I find it to be too sweet.
I like Pepsi.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, I mean, if somebody offered me a Pepsi and it's all there was, I would take a couple sips. But in the great Coke versus Pepsi debate, the Pepsi challenge, Pepsi loses for me every time to Coke, because I like the more nuanced flavor profile, I think, that Coke has instead of the sort of overt sweetness that's in a Pepsi. But in this case, the nitrogen sort of smoothed all that out and made it very creamy and very cold. And that was like the perfect pick-me-up for that long drive that I had.
It's so annoying when people say Pepsi and Coke taste the same, because they don't.
I don't agree, yeah.
They don't taste the same at all. They taste so different.
Well, Liz, here's a spoiler. We're going to do the Pepsi challenge on this show at some point when it's Pepsi week. We are going to try blind taste test Coke versus Pepsi on that show.
Good.
I'm excited for that because I've never actually done it.
I have. We do those types of things at like birthday parties a lot.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Like we do Bean Boozle.
Ugh.
Oh my gosh. Remember when Uncle Pat got the barf when I actually barfed? That was terrible.
I do. Shout out to Uncle Pat, who threw up for real after tasting a puke-flavored jelly bean. Liz,
that was like my favorite Florida memory.
Of Uncle Pat throwing up?
Because of the Bean Boozle.
I mean, we've done a lot of fun things there, but that's the top of the list for you, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, shout out to Uncle Pat again. Liz, speaking of pick-me-ups, you had a little pick-me-up snack in the car today. You got, what did you get?
After a very long shopping spree.
Well, I wouldn't say it was a very long shopping spree. It was mostly you saying, ooh, can we go here? Ooh, can we go here? Ooh, can we go here? And then getting something every place we went.
Well, we were 2 minutes down the road from a Sephora. What do you mean?
So now you're justifying that pretty well, huh?
Okay, Dots.
Dots seasoned pretzels, Alyssa. You asked me to pick some of these up for you, and I grabbed a bag from where? Target?
Target.
Target. What do you think about
Target? I got a lip gloss.
A lip gloss. Would you say your lip gloss is popping?
My lip gloss be stopping at the boys at the lockers.
Very nice. Tell me, what are Dots seasoned pretzels, bud?
They are these twisty pretzels with seasoning.
Are these hard or soft pretzels?
Hard pretzels.
Like little crunchy pretzel sticks?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like a big twisty pretzel. It's like a little one.
Yes.
Now, when it says a seasoned pretzel, what does that mean?
Like it's salty, but it has different flavors.
Oh, I see. So like a normal pretzel stick would just have salt on it.
Yeah.
But these have
like a buttery kind of taste. Something else. I don't even know.
Yeah, like an artificial butter flavor, but something that's augmented with, I don't know, some other savory kinds of seasonings, huh?
Yeah.
And it tastes good. These are really good. I think the Dots seasoned pretzels, just the basic ones, they taste kind of like what you would imagine if you got the flavor of an Auntie Anne's soft pretzel, but in a bag of crunchy pretzels.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it, right?
Yeah.
What else did you have today?
I had a shamrock shake.
A shamrock shake. Wow. Yeah. I think we're going to do a show on the shamrock shake as well.
We should for St. Patty's Day.
How about that? We should do a show on the shamrock shake.
We should do a show on the shamrock shake.
We should do a show on the shamrock shake.
Yeah.
And
while selling seashells by the seashore.
Very good. And what's your quick take on the shamrock shake? That rhymed.
It's so tasty.
It is so tasty. What even is a shamrock shake?
Is it like mint? I don't even know.
I think it's like a soft vanilla mint, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's green.
Yeah.
That's really the allure of the Shamrock Shake, right?
Yeah. That all right, we got to hurry this up.
What do you mean? Oh, because you want to get to that last one there.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost there. Liz, I was at Costco the other day, and they had these things called turtle churro chips.
I have still not tried one.
You still haven't tried them. I ate a lot of them on the ride home from Costco. I have this bad habit where when I have to go to Costco and go shopping, I'll usually grab a giant bag of some sort of crunchy salt or other type of crispy snack, and I'll load all the stuff that I just got from the Costco into the trunk of the car, but I'll take that bag and sit it in the front seat and open it up and snack on that on the drive home. And that's what I did with these turtle churro chips. Now, I don't know why they're called turtle chips. I'm guessing because they're in the shape, vaguely, of a turtle shell. You think that's maybe what it is?
Maybe.
Now, they seem to be very thin, very crispy wafers of a slightly cinnamon-sugared pastry of some sort. They almost remind me of very thin wafers of like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, for example.
Yeah.
But then they're coated in a very, very thin, just the barest whisper of chocolate as well. And Liz, those things are dynamite. The flavor...
So I'ma light it up like dynamite.
Yeah, exactly. I was lighting this bag of turtle churro chips up like dynamite in the car, Liz, because...
Good job lighting them up, Dad.
That's right. Light them up, up, up. Shout out to Vinny. Liz.
On fire.
Thank you. I was waiting for you to do that. Liz, these things were amazing. They were so delicate, so crispy and light, but they packed a lot of flavor because they had the smooth chocolate on the outside that had sort of that cocoa pop to it. And then there were the little crunchy bits of cinnamon sugar just underneath that. And then the sort of like crispness of the, I don't even know what to call it, the pastry, the cookie, the snack itself. Really good. I thought about putting those into a homemade snack mix that I was making. I was making a peanut butter and chocolate snack mix. And then by the time I went to the pantry to get that bag, I realized that my whole bowl was already full of other stuff. So there was no room in the peanut butter chocolate snack mix for the chocolate turtle churro chips, which was a bummer.
Okay, next one.
You know what wasn't a bummer?
The Korean corn dogs.
Korean corn dogs. Now, the reason that I got turtle churro chips at Costco was because you asked me to make a special trip to Costco to get you Korean corn dogs. Liz, what is
these
a Korean
things,
corn dog?
Oh, So they're like, think of it as a bunch of French fries cut in half.
Okay.
In this like deep fried batter.
Okay.
And that batter goes around a mozzarella stick on a stick.
Oh, wow.
Deep fry it.
So a Korean corn dog is not a hot dog, Liz. At
no,
least not the one
no
that we
dog.
Have. It's cheese that is melted and covered in a batter that's studded with pieces of French fry.
It is the best.
And you've been making those like two at a time every day after school, popping them in the air fryer. And what do you have with them? Ketchup, I guess?
Yeah.
Because the ketchup complements the French fry exterior. Yeah, these are good, obviously. It's a difficult thing to replicate if you're not getting them pre-made from somewhere else. I guess you could batter and fry and French fry stud a cheese stick if you really wanted to, but that's a little bit more work than we want to do at home.
Yeah.
You will recall, Liz, a couple summers ago, there was a Korean corn dog stand on the boardwalk in Ocean City, New Jersey.
Is.
It's still there?
Me and Bella get them when we go.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful.
They're so good.
And these were so good. And Liz.
What?
You were saying that a Korean corn dog is just a mozzarella stick that's battered and coated with French fries? Well, hey, that reminds me of this week's snack.
Up next on Junk Food, it's...
mozzarella sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, Liz, what's a mozzarella stick?
Like, Dad, you shouldn't have put long pieces of breaded because it could be medium.
They could be medium pieces of cheese,
yeah.
Not long. They're typically long pieces of cheese, right? Cheese sticks, mozzarella sticks.
Not the ones at Pezzo's.
Not the ones
You're
at Pezzo's.
You're being discriminating towards the mozzarella sticks.
Being discriminatory
okay,
towards
so
mozzarella sticks?
Okay, so we'll just say pieces of breaded or battered and fried mozzarella cheese, usually served as an appetizer or starter.
Yeah, that's right. It's literally...
Not an entree.
Not an entree, that's true. I mean, I guess you could eat them as an entree if you really wanted to.
Yeah.
Liz, it's just gooey melted string cheese that's stuck inside of a seasoned, usually golden fried breading.
Yeah, it's that, just stuck.
That sounds really good, actually, when you say it like that. Liz, you may not believe this, but there are two different origin stories for mozzarella sticks.
That's right.
That's right. Usually we talk about the creator myths around some of the foods that we discuss on this show.
Yeah.
And how they're... you know, sometimes embellished, sometimes outright lies, obviously, occasionally not able to be proved through any historical record. But in this case, Alyssa, according to the, get this, Innovation Center for U.S. Dairy, which is a real thing apparently, the first written evidence of frying breaded pieces of cheese to have as a snack comes from, get this, medieval France, Alyssa.
Speaking of medieval, who did we go to medieval times with for Chase's birthday?
Lachlan. Shout out to Lachlan. That's right. Yeah, medieval times in France, not the restaurant medieval times with the horses and such, but the actual medieval France, Alyssa, in the year 1393 was when there was a recipe published for a thing called pipe farces. Hmm. This is an interesting name. This was published in a book called Le Ménagier de Paris.
Paris.
Yeah, that's right. Which is roughly translated is the Paris Household Book, which was this very weird home manual for young women. And it was written from the perspective of an older husband who was lecturing his young wife about how she should behave in a marriage. Does that sound strange to you?
Yeah, that's not giving Barbie movie.
That's not giving Barbie movie, says the 13-year-old. Yeah, it was a book full of advice on gardening and how to apply makeup and food preparation, among some other things. And all of those were centered around the theme of wifely obedience, Alyssa. Yeah, big sigh. It sounds pretty terrible now, but it was perfectly normal in that day and age. Anyway, this is the original 1393 recipe for pipe farces, which were the, of course, medieval precursor to modern day mozzarella sticks. Are you ready? I'm going to do my best Max Miller tasting history read for this. Or do you want to do it?
You do it.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
Take egg yolks and flour and salt and a little wine and beat together strongly and cheese chopped in thin slices and then roll the slices of cheese in the batter and then fry in an iron skillet with oil in it. This can also be made using beef marrow. How was that?
Pretty good.
Okay, so now, in retrospect.
You know what I love doing?
What's that, bud?
Talking in my YouTuber voice.
Yeah, what, do you want to try it?
Yeah, wait, I'm going to try the recipe.
Do you want to read the recipe in your YouTuber voice?
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to put it back so I'm going to yell it a little bit.
Okay.
Hey, everybody!
I think that's a little too much.
Hey, everybody, welcome back with another video. Today, we're going to be taking some egg yolks, flour, and salt, a little wine, and beat together strongly, and cheese chopped in thin slices, and then we're going to roll the cheese out in the batter and fry it in an iron skillet with the oil. And this can also be used with the beef marrow.
Don't forget to smash that like button.
Don't forget to smash that like button each and every week.
Wow, that was awful. And,
you got to going hard and then go slow.
And then go out hard.
Yeah.
That's right. Shout out to Roger Ebert. Listen, that was...
pretty good.
It was a good read by you, obviously. I hate the style. I don't like the fact that that exists. But I mean, that's why... I don't know if people picked up on this or not, but that's why we do the intro on this show the way we do the, oh yeah, welcome to that thing.
Oh yeah, welcome to the
voice. Yeah, that was us making fun of...
The YouTube.
Sort of the YouTube voice, right?
Yeah. I don't know if people caught on to that.
I don't think they did, but that, because that was sort of an inside joke with
me.
Because
you don't go hard...
I don't go hard into it.
Yeah, you don't go hard enough.
I mean, I go pretty hard. I go moderately hard.
You gotta go, like, harder.
Yeah, probably nobody got that, because it was an inside joke with me and Mom and some of our friends, but that's the... That was the attempt at doing at least a moderated YouTube voice. Mm. So let's, obviously bread and cheese go together. Georgian cuisine, for example, the country of Georgia, not the United States, state of Georgia, is almost exclusively bread and cheese. You get a nice khachapuri, and it's like a pizza with bread and cheese, and it's sort of an egg in the middle. Liz, so we've got fried cheese as far back as 1393, but the thing that we know now as a mozzarella stick, that comes into existence in 1976 when there's this Wisconsin dairy farmer. His name is Frank Baker, and he's part of a family that had been making cheese since like 1916.
Yes, you get it, Frank.
Yeah, that's right. And he wanted to find a way to make his family's mozzarella cheese more snackable. So here's the thing. In the 1970s, mozzarella cheese was exploding in popularity across the country. It was part of like a food fad. So like in the 70s, mozzarella is like what Nashville Hot was a couple years ago. Mm. Or like Sriracha or something like that, right?
Sriracha.
Yeah, exactly. So there's these pizza places that are opening up all over the country in the 60s and 70s. The local pizza places becoming more and more prevalent. Food science and farming technology are making production of cheeses simpler and more efficient. And Baker Cheese, the company that that Frank worked for, his family company, converted their operation to making mozzarella full-time around the mid-1970s. And so they were looking for ways to make their product more available to more consumers in more ways. So all Frank, what he did was he took a ball of fresh mozzarella cheese and he stretched it out into a rope and he cut it into these handheld size sticks. And then they dried it a little bit. So the moisture was sort of driven off. And that was the birth of string cheese, Alyssa.
Yippee.
And then like a few late nights after that, somebody took a look at that string cheese and was like, yo,
we gotta deep fry this.
We should bread that and put it in the fryer. Ha ha. And then they did. So Liz, we've already done 1976 in the show. So what else was going on in 1393 in medieval France and other places when the first fried cheese was invented?
George the Sixth?
That's the seventh, dear.
The what?
George the Seventh.
But how's that the seventh?
Because a V
That's is, four.
No, a V is five, dear.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, then what's a four? But the line in front of it?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I wrote the wrong number on my social studies paper then.
Well,
oopsie.
I guess we're fact-checking your homework in real time. Yeah, George the Seventh
became King of Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Abdul Aziz the Second became Sultan of what's now Morocco.
Very good.
Morocco.
Thank you.
Raimondo. That sounds like Brad Mondo, the hairstylist.
It's Raimondo, like the name Raymond.
Raimondo de Balzo. Balzo.
Is that funny?
Balzo. Orsini became Prince of Taranto, but not Canada.
Right.
In what's now southern Italy.
Very good.
Samsonathy?
Uh-huh, sure.
Became king of what's now Laos.
Uh-huh.
James the First became king of Armenia.
Armenia, yeah.
Armenia.
Uh-huh.
Sikandar Shah became... Oh, Sikandar Shah I.
The first, yes. Thank you.
Became Sultan of Delhi.
Uh-huh.
Abu Tubid the Second became ruler of what's now Eastern Algeria.
Uh-huh.
Conrad von Gugen.
Jungingen. Keep going. You're doing great.
Became Grand Master of the Tunting, the Teutonic.
Teutonic Knights. That's right.
Oh, God. Maul Arundhati.
McDermott.
Became King of what's now North Central Ireland.
Uh huh.
Arthur the Third. Duke of Brittany was born.
Uh-huh.
And John of Nepomuk died.
Yeah, John of Nepomuk died. He was martyred, actually. He became a saint. So shout out to John of Nepomuk. Yeah, Liz, I just tried to find the silliest names
I see.
Regency transitions that I could for that.
Guess what happened?
What's up?
I learned a new word today.
Oh, boy.
Arson.
Arson. Yeah. Okay, well, yeah, would you like to tell the people at home what arson means? Keep in mind, we have lots of young listeners to this program. Shout out to Owen and Ruby, our young listeners.
It's when you like set a house on fire to try to kill people, right?
Well, arson is just setting fires on purpose, yes.
Oh.
I'm sorry, did you have murder in mind when you were...
I got murder.
Thank you. So Liz, we were talking about medieval times. We got fried cheese in medieval times, not, like I said, at medieval times. They have tomato bisque, not fried cheese, but in actual medieval times. And then we fast forward to America's Bicentennial, where we have fried mozzarella sticks made from breaded string cheese invented in Wisconsin. And then, of course, we have the inevitable spread of this classic snack as, get this, Liz, sports bars and bowling alleys start to spread throughout the country.
There's a kid in my grade who loves going bowling. And he always plays bowling alley music in his locker.
Sorry, what's bowling alley music?
I don't even know. It's just like upbeat, I guess.
Okay, interesting. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a moment. Not necessarily bowling alley music, but the bowling alley culture. Liz, because these places, bowling alleys and sports bars, as they spread throughout the country, they're making high volume, high speed snackable treats that are designed to be cooked quickly. Because most of these places, they want to have food service. They want to have a snack bar or a restaurant of some kind, but they're not really set up for a big industrial kitchen. So they have to have small contraptions that can cook things in high volumes relatively quickly. And that's usually things like small ovens on the countertop or a deep fryer. And that's exactly what we get. Now, at the same time, a little bit later, actually, in the 1980s, we start to get the spread of chain restaurants that are capitalizing on this trend, and we see places like Applebee's and Bennigan's and TGI Fridays serving like multitudes of fried appetizers, including the now venerable mozzarella stick. And so it simply becomes a part of American cuisine around this time. So Liz.
Yes.
It's interesting today that you get mozzarella sticks increasingly in like neighborhood pizza places.
Yeah.
Because that's typically associated with Italian cuisine. But mozzarella sticks are not Italian food at all.
I was actually just talking to someone about this. Who was I talking about this with?
I don't know.
Oh, I remember. Okay. So me and Ella were talking about mozzarella sticks the other day.
Shout out to Ella.
And Ella goes, don't you eat mozzarella sticks because you're Italian?
Ah, of course.
And I was like, no, Ella, that's basic American food.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is. It's sort of French food and sort of Midwestern. It's Italian in the flavor profile. Obviously, mozzarella is an Italian word. It is an Italian cheese, but...
Mozzarella.
Yeah, that's right. You know how some of our friends and family say the word mozzarella because we are from New Jersey? Do you know how they say it?
How?
Mozzarella.
Mozzarella?
Mozzarella. You like it a mozz, Alyssa?
We always make fun of Brooke on how she says Philadelphia. She goes Philadelphia.
Oh, that's not that different.
No, but it's funny how she like says it because she has this like accent when she says it. She's like Philadelphia.
Well, shout out to Brooke.
She sounds so silly.
I like it. It sounds great. Liz.
What?
This is the same as like buffalo wings and onion rings, which are the same kinds of fried snacks that you can get at your local pizza shop, but they don't have Italian origins either.
Yeah.
No, here's some other things to consider, Alyssa, because the standard mozzarella stick obviously is a classic. It's very accessible. It's got the Lindy effect thing going on for it where it's been around for a long time, so it's likely to be around for an even longer time. People seem to like the form factor, the dunkability of it, the flavor, everything just sort of works with a mozzarella stick. But did you know there are other types of fried cheese as well?
Like what?
Well, all of them have similar things going on. They're generally salty and crispy on the outside and sort of stringy and chewy and melty on the inside. Perfect for pairing with some sort of sauce accompaniment that complements the tangy and creamy cheese inside. Now, some of those, like you were asking just a second ago, are simply variations on a theme where you're just changing the shape. So I'm thinking of some restaurants that purport themselves to be a little bit fancier than a local strip mall pizza place. Maggiano's, for example, Alyssa. You like Maggiano's, right? They serve a big slab of fried cheese. It's essentially a big family-style mozzarella stick. You're meant to cut it and eat it with a knife and fork, but it's basically the same thing.
Oh, I have some clarification to say something real quick.
Okay, please.
So, I was in school today, and I was talking to some friends of the show. It's not important who, because then your feelings will get hurt.
Okay.
But
am I going to have to cut this out?
No. But I was asking about like the show, because they were talking about it, and they were like, you know how you said that people only listen for your random talks?
Ah, of course, that's right.
They said that's true.
Oh, how dare you.
So
more random nonsense from the girl, and less dry recitation effects from, you know, the one that actually does the research and writes the, excuse me. Unbelievable. So Liz, like I was saying, there are in fact different types of cheeses that can be fried, aside from a low moisture mozzarella. I'm thinking here are things like squeaky Wisconsin cheese curds, Liz.
Mm.
Yeah, you like cheese curds. We got some really good cheese curds at a restaurant in Traverse City, Michigan that's since closed down, unfortunately, but those were really good. And you can get them at Culver's if you've got that fast food spot nearby. That's fine.
The.
I don't know.
Oh, the Virginia food.
Virginia food?
That's coming to the Philadelphia place. You know this. Come on.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The food we got in Virginia.
We've gotten lots of different types of foods
the
in Virginia.
The fast food place with the lemonade.
Raising Cane's?
Yes. That's coming soon.
Well, they don't have cheese curds, but guess what? Do you want to hear something funny?
What?
I had Raising Cane's yesterday.
Dad!
There was one in Burlington on the drive home.
Why would you get that without me?
Well, I wanted a snack.
Was it good?
It was good. It was really good. Cane sauce is A+. Yeah, but they don't have, why did you bring that up? They don't have cheese curds.
I don't know. That reminded me of cheese curds.
Probably talking about Culver's, right?
Yeah.
How about this, Alyssa? A stick of halloumi cheese can be fried. I've had halloumi sticks in a pub in London while I watched a rugby game, actually. That was really good. Indian paneer, for example, can be a fried cheese. Your mom likes sag paneer, which is the paneer with spinach.
March 5th.
That's soon. That's when the close Raising Cane's will open.
That's a long time.
That's too long for you to wait, less than a month.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Liz, you can take a mild cheddar cheese, roll it into a ball and fry it golden brown so that it's poppable little cheese balls. That was one of my favorite appetizers at the since closed down and razed to the ground in place of a Wawa.
You know what I want to do?
Dive
soon?
Bar that we used to go to. What's that?
Do like a summer menu in winter. Like, you know how it's still like, I guess, classified winter?
Sure.
I want to do like what we have in the summer. Like do a night that's jalapeno poppers, cowboy caviar, like all that stuff.
Oh, you want to have a barbecue?
Like, yeah, but like not a real barbecue.
An indoor barbecue.
Yeah.
Like just
especially,
with a bunch of snacks.
It's just been so nice out. It's just like.
You're getting kind of in the spring summer mood, huh?
In the summer mood, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's still February. Still February. I don't know how that's going to work out for you. Liz, speaking of things not working out, you've got to be careful. Here's an interesting thing. In 2022, TGI Friday's frozen foods division was sued by a lawyer named Thomas Zimmerman, who brought a class action suit on behalf of a plaintiff named Amy Joseph, who had alleged that their frozen mozzarella sticks, which they were called in the package, only contained cheddar cheese and no actual mozzarella cheese. How about that?
Oh,
yeah, it's fascinating.
Good
right?
for you, Amy.
Liz,
not what you want.
Well, I mean, class action suits means that she's bringing them on behalf of an entire class of people. So if we've ever had TGI Friday's frozen mozzarella sticks, we may be entitled to a piece of that suit if it goes forward and is settled.
I've never had TGI Friday.
Like anything from there ever?
No.
Interesting.
Wait, just regular Fridays or does it have to be TGI?
Well, that's the same thing.
Oh, then never mind.
You thought there was a different, a Fridays and a TGI Friday?
Yeah, because that's where Ella got pasta high.
Pasta? Oh, pasta high yes, of course. Not the kind of high that probably people are thinking about.
Well, that's what we were talking about, but.
Yeah, different kind of high.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly. Liz, we were talking about this a moment ago. We said there are a number of different places that you can get mozzarella sticks, bowling alleys, pizza parlors, roller skating rinks, chain restaurants. Do you know that McDonald's had mozzarella sticks on the menu in 2015, Liz? Yeah, it was a limited time offering. I don't recall if I ever got them there. I probably
bowling alleys
didn't.
Always have the best lemonade.
Bowling alleys have the best lemonade, you said?
Yes. Like, do they make so good?
Do you mean like that that weird machine that's like a big plastic tub and it's got a little fountain inside it? It's like spraying the lemonade up and down inside, and it's got a
no.
No, you're not.
Those
talking
are like
about
the
that?
Panera ones. Those
well,
are
sure,
good.
Panera has those too, but you used to see them at places like bowling alleys and roller skating rinks and
like
snack bars.
When you go for a party and they bring out like the pitchers of them.
Yeah, and then they just pour it into a cup.
Yeah, they're so good.
I think that's usually just like
Minute Maid
reconstituted fountain
lemonade.
Minute
Maid,
yeah, probably. But you like it.
Yeah.
You like regular lemonade or pink lemonade better?
Regular.
Really regular, not pink lemonade.
Because it reminds me of summer.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess so. That's true. Here's the thing, Liz. We said you can get them at chain restaurants, places like Friday's, Bennigan's, Applebee's. It turns out the cooks at the chain restaurants really love serving the mozzarella sticks. Did you know that?
Right.
Well, because they're like idiot proof. They come in these giant frozen blocks. They take just a few minutes to heat up in the fryer. They like almost cannot be screwed up. And they don't take a lot of thought and effort on the part of the cooks. They get super excited when somebody orders mozzarella sticks because they know it's like the next
they,
5 minutes
have
are going
to
be
anything.
Easy work. That's right. Liz, did you know that there are even some fancy high concept Italian eateries in places like New York City where they serve mozzarella sticks?
Really?
Yeah, but their own sort of variations on a mozzarella stick. In fact, there was a restaurant not too long ago that served a very famous rendition of a mozzarella stick and then took it off the menu very briefly to reformulate the recipe. And there were minor riots that broke out when people showed up to the restaurant and could not order their favorite food, the mozzarella stick.
Ooh.
Speaking of it being the favorite food of people, Liz, DoorDash, which you got the other night, inexplicably, because we had a ton of food here and somehow DoorDash arrived and brought you boneless buffalo wings. Alyssa, DoorDash said that mozzarella sticks were the most ordered food during the NFL season, during football games on Sundays in the year 2021, even outpacing buffalo wings and french fries and fried pickles and all those other things that people get.
You know, DoorDash just kind of shows up a lot.
Yeah, that's weird how that happens, isn't it?
So strange.
I agree. Liz, did you know there's even a place in Wisconsin we're back to Wisconsin again, called Alfonso's, that claims that they make the world's largest mozzarella stick.
Whoop whoop.
Yeah, it's more than a foot long, and each one, you get two of them in an order, weighs more than a pound. 2 pounds of cheese that's breaded and fried.
That sounds gross.
Yeah, kind of does. You know what else sounds gross? We're going to get to that in a moment. Liz, what would you say the most popular dipping sauce for a mozzarella stick is?
Marinara.
Yeah, it's obviously marinara, right? It's the standard accompaniment. You get them at any bar, any pizza place, any chain restaurant in the world.
You're going to
give
you
a little cup of marinara. What's that?
Penne vodka sauce.
Oh, like a pink sauce. Sure.
It's so good.
Yeah, that would be pretty good. And I think it's really the interplay between the sort of salty, tangy, creamy cheese, and then the sharp, acidic, tomatoey bite of the mozzarella, excuse me, of the marinara sauce or the tomato-based sauce. But here's the thing, Liz. All that gets thrown out the window if you live in Albany, New York. Yeah, in and around the New York capital region, mozzarella sticks are served with something called Melba, Alyssa. Do you know what Melba is?
No.
Melba is sort of like a raspberry jam. It's a raspberry sauce that was developed by the famed French chef Escoffier. Liz, what do you think about dipping fried cheese into a fruit spread?
Ew.
You say ooh. Here's the thing. I think it works. I don't know that I've ever done this. I don't know that I've ever had Melba or a raspberry sauce specifically with fried mozzarella cheese. But I have had a brie, for example, like a baked brie with honey and jam. I think that works. Sometimes we have like a sour cherry spread that we pair with a goat cheese when we do a charcuterie board. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think it's probably quite nice. What do you think? You think you could do it?
No.
No. Well, we don't have to today because I couldn't find any. So spoiler alert, we're not doing that. But what we are going to discuss, Liz, is a memory that I have of mozzarella sticks. First, before I get into that, would you like to talk about any of your specific memories or food experiences with mozzarella sticks? You've had quite a few. You had them yesterday.
I have one, actually.
Go ahead. I know where you're going with this.
So me and Mom were at a local pizza parlor.
Uh-huh.
And we ordered mozzarella sticks, and I ate one, and it got stuck in my throat, and Mom reached her hand in my throat and pulled it out.
That's right. And this was funny to me. I wasn't there, but this was amusing to me. How old were you when that happened, by the way?
This was not that long ago.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm...
like... maybe last year.
Yeah. So it's funny to me. I'm glad that you're okay. You could have died, but you didn't. So now it's funny. The same thing happened to your mom, when she was your age. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. When she was a kid, she was eating mozzarella sticks, sitting at her kitchen table with her family, and she took too big of a bite and didn't chew it properly, and it got stuck in her throat. And she looked around... no one was paying attention to her. And finally, her aunt, shout out to Aunt Donna, saw her choking and reached her hand into her throat and pulled out this long string of mozzarella cheese that she was choking
on. Oh, this is why I love Aunt Donna.
Well, it's funny to see the...
same thing happen.
Yeah.
What in the deja vu?
Exactly. That's right. Speaking of deja vu, Liz, I'm going to... I'm going to give you, I'm going to give myself a little bit of deja vu because you weren't there, but I was when I was a kid. Like we've said on the show before, there was a pool in our town, a swim club that we went to in the summer, and the swim club had a little snack bar. And I remember it very fondly and very vividly. The floor was like poured concrete and it was painted green, and it always felt disgusting on my feet, like slimy, because everybody went in there soaking wet and the floor got all wet and you had to walk on the wet floor. And I did not like it. But what I did like was all the snacks that they had at the swim club. And in this case, there was sort of like a hierarchy to the snacks there because there were only certain things that we got. Usually, Liz, I got a small Yum Yum. Do you know what a Yum Yum is?
No.
Yum Yum was a local brand name for a very specific type of water ice, like an Italian ice, for those of you that are not from the
Delaware Valley. That makes me miss Kona ice.
That's right. Mm. Yum Yum was sort of like a creamy, thicker water ice, if you can imagine that. Those were very good. I usually got root beer if they had it. It was served in a little tiny paper cup, and it was 50 cents, I think, for the small one. And if you got a large one, a bigger cup, it was a dollar. Now, that was the thing that I usually got. Sometimes I would get a soft pretzel. I think they were like a quarter. They were delivered fresh from the local pretzel places in and around Philadelphia every morning. It was extra special. We talked about this on the soft pretzel show. If you got them deep fried and then poured sugar from the sugar shaker for the coffee on top of them.
Yeah.
That was good. The step up from the Yum Yum, Alyssa, was a thing called a froze fruit. Have you ever heard of a froze fruit?
No.
Froze fruit was a popsicle, but it wasn't just made of like syrupy sugar water frozen in a mold. It was made of pureed real frozen fruit with chunks of actual frozen fruit inside it. And that was the high roller popsicle because that was a dollar also. I hardly ever got those. I think I might have gotten those like maybe once or twice. French fries, Alyssa, were also a dollar. Now, these were not good French fries. They were just like frozen, kind of too thick, again, bowling alley style French fries.
Oof.
But for whatever reason, when it was summertime and you were a little chilly from getting out of the ice cold pool water, because that pool was not heated, it was always very cold.
Remember when me and Lily were swimming in April?
Yeah, that was wild. Well, we turned the heater all the way up. So that was, I mean, there was steam coming off of the pool here. That was bonkers. I mean, we're not that far away from doing that again, huh?
Thank goodness.
That's right. It's almost here. Liz, the French fries at the pool were good. They were always fried, golden, crisp, and delicious. They were covered in salt. They kept the ketchup outside so it wasn't in the fridge, so it didn't have that kind of like chill to it. You had like warm ketchup, which I really like. There's something different about the way that the aromas are released from a warmed ketchup, if I could, you know, be fancy for a minute. So those were really good. And then they had real food too, like hot dogs and hamburgers, but I don't think anybody ever got that. But the king of the snacks there, Alyssa.
Mozzarella stick.
Yeah, that's right. The mozzarella stick. Top of the heap, A number one, cream of the crop, the mozzarella stick. So Liz.
What the?
Are you ready? Because it's now time for my favorite part of this show. Alyssa reads the ingredients and you are cringing because there is a big long list of ingredients in mozzarella sticks.
Here we go.
Are you ready?
Part skim mozzarella cheese, pasteurized milk, cultures, salt, enzymes, calcium, calcium chloride, nonfat milk, bleach, wheat flour, water. Wheat flour contains 2% or less of buttermilk blend, buttermilk, sweet cream, whey solids, Romano cheese. Uh-huh. Part skim cow's milk, cheese cultures, salt, enzymes, citric acid, dextrin, dextrose, whole eggs, egg white solids, unsalted butter, pasteurized cream, natural flavor, artificial and natural flavors, spices, garlic powder, onion powder, whey, yeast, wheat, gluten, leavening, sodium, acid, pyrophosphate, sodium bicarbonate, sodium aluminum phosphate, dehydrated parsley, rice flour, yellow corn flour, modified food starch, modified potato starch, dextrin, sugar, dextrose, maltodextrin, salt, yeast extract, soybean oil, maltodextrin, sugar, xanthan gum, paprika extract for color, liquid and hydrogenated soybean oil, TBHQ and citric acid preservatives,
dimethyl polysiloxane, dear.
Anti-foaming agent.
Thank you.
Hold on. I read it wrong. Marinara.
That's the one you couldn't figure out?
Marinara sauce, tomato puree, water, tomato paste, tomatoes, corn syrup, salt, soybean oil, spices, dehydrated onion, dehydrated parsley, and citric.
Yeah, that's a heck of an ingredients list. And Alyssa, the reason that that's such a long ingredients list is because the mozzarella sticks we got today are from Applebee's.
Ugh.
And they got a lot of crap in them because that's what Applebee's does. So let's get to the rules of the game. Junk Feud is a culinary clash to see which treat will be crowned the undisputed champion of snacks. It's a King of the Mountain style battle in which the reigning champ takes on a new challenger each week to see which snack reigns supreme. And Alyssa.
Yeah.
The reigning defending undisputed champion of snacks is...
Space Dunk Oreos.
Space Dunk Oreos. That's right. We had a successful cash-in of the Money in the Bank briefcase. I'm sorry. I mean the Oreo rule. And the new reigning defending undisputed champion of snacks is the special edition, space-themed, two-tone, marshmallow-creamed, popping candy-adorned Space Dunk Oreos. Liz, they're good.
Yeah.
They were real good. But things are going haywire here on Junk Feud. It's breaking down in Tulsa, as Jim Ross would say.
What does that mean?
Well, it means like... we've got a Pier 6 brawl on our hands. First, we had Birch Beer win the title, and then we walked back the scores on that. And then it was sneak attacked by Fudge Stripes the next show. And then Fudge Stripes won its matchup, but then Space Dunk Oreos snuck in from out of nowhere, RKO style, and won the title while Fudge Stripes' back was turned. And now we have an interesting situation where we've had a lot of title changes in a brief period of time.
Yeah.
You think Space Dunk Oreos can carry it through?
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out in a moment, because today we're trying mozzarella sticks, which, as I said, we got from our local Applebee's via curbside pickup through the app for, get this, Alyssa, 8 mozzarella sticks, $9.99.
If they're going to charge you that much, just do $1 per mozzarella stick.
You'd feel better about yourself, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, with tax and tip, it came out to about $13. So, you know, 8 sticks of fried cheese, a little plastic sauce with some plastic cup with some sauce in it, and a little lid on top.
No run-ins.
Yeah, there's no other challengers today. Mano a mano, which means, Alyssa, it's crunch time. That's right. We rate our snacks. Why did you say it like that? What was that all about?
What?
Crunch time.
What?
That was interesting. Are we going to make that a weekly thing now?
Crunch time, I guess.
I'm too cool for this. I'm a teenager. Thanks. We rate our snacks using a tier list from Sprinkles to Fun Dip.
Sprinkles to Fun Dip.
So snacks can be graded A, B, C, D, or F, with the very best treats earning the elusive S tier ranking. The following contest is scheduled for one serving.
One serving.
And it's for the undisputed championship of junk food. Now, Liz.
Yeah.
I have the mozzarella sticks here. Now, we can try them again if we want.
I want to.
These are a fried appetizer, which means they have a half-life. Basically, as soon as these things come out of the hot grease, they're going downhill, and they're going downhill fast. So what we did, like anybody else would, is we got them in the car, and then we tried one as soon as they were delivered to us, when they were still hot and fresh.
They were still cold, though.
Yeah, they weren't actually. I was disappointed in the temperature.
The cheese wasn't even melty.
The cheese was less melty than I would want. I got a little bit of cheese pull in a bite, but not much. I want this thing to be like arm's length stringing out, you know? Now, when you try a mozzarella stick, Liz, what are you looking for? What's the flavor combination and profile that you want from a mozzarella stick?
The salty,
yeah.
Fried batter.
Yeah.
Like, and then the super, pulley. Stringy. Not stringy, though.
Sure. So, like, melty and pulley.
Yeah.
Right?
That cheese.
Pulley, I don't know, is a word, but we're going to... I mean, a pulley is
we'll
a thing.
We'll make it work.
But, yeah. I see. Liz, I am with you there. I want the hot oil to basically burst in my mouth and carry the flavor of the food that it's fried in and the saltiness across my palate. The oil sort of coats your tongue and moves the flavonoids around. I want a tangy, creamy, salty cheese inside. It should taste like a heightened mozzarella stick. Like if you do the, Ryan the Temp from The Office and just bite the mozzarella stick like it's a candy bar instead of like pulling the string cheese apart, you know? Mm-hmm. You want that big burst of cheesiness, the subtle tang on the palate from the cheese. You want all the, in this case, there are a lot of additives to the breading. Did you notice that in the ingredients? There are things like parsley and Romano cheese that are incorporated into the exterior breading on this. So you're getting an additional flavor burst. It's not just like unseasoned breadcrumbs. This is a seasoned dredge, basically, which is pretty nice. So I got to say, even though these were not as hot and gooey as I would have liked when we got them out of the fryer, it's still really good. It tastes like a mozzarella stick, which is exactly what we want. I did not care for the marinara sauce here, though.
Oh, no.
This is sort of like... It's a very thick, very pasty sort of marinara sauce. When you get it from a local pizza place that makes its own pizza sauce or its own marinara sauce,
it's
so much better. The sauce is better in that case. You're still getting the acidity and tang of the tomatoes. You're getting the brightness of those flavors melding together with sort of the smoothness of the olive oil that's added to it, a little hit of garlic, onion powder, garlic powder, salt, pepper, that kind of thing. Here, I'm just getting like, I don't know, this is just like canned tomato paste that's been thinned out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit one note, a little bit disappointing. I think, and you can probably corroborate this, you had mozzarella sticks last night with dinner from our local pizza place. You went out to dinner
so
with Grammy and Poppy.
Better.
And yeah, they're so much better. They are, now, listen, they're probably the same like big Sysco pack frozen block of cheese that's coming from a factory and then a warehouse somewhere. They're not breading them fresh in the store, but they're slightly different in form factor. These from Applebee's look like string cheese, really,
Yeah. That's
been breaded and fried. The ones from the local pizza places are usually a little bit shorter, a little bit more squat,
yeah,
like thicker.
Like stubbier.
So those are usually a little bit better, and the thickness of the cheese allows it to sort of get a little bit gooier and meltier.
Yeah.
You have to be careful when you're making these, because you don't want the breadcrumbs on the outside to burn before the inside gets too melty. So Liz, let's hit the bliss point. What do you think? mozzarella sticks overall in general as a concept, and then, you know, specifically these we got from Applebee's.
So overall as a
concept.
Concept.
Uh-huh.
A plus.
A plus.
But the ones from Applebee's, I'm giving them like a C minus.
Wow, C minus. You didn't think these were very good, huh?
No.
I mean, I will say I've had worse. I've had like fast food mozzarella sticks before that are very small, that are always cold, that are disappointing. These were better than that. I would say these were a B plus for me. It's still the first bite was mozzarella stick, even though it wasn't as stretchy and as chewy as I really wanted. Yeah, I would agree though. The concept of a mozzarella stick at its best execution is, do I say A plus? Yeah, I'm going to say A plus because I've had so many good experiences through my life with mozzarella sticks. So A plus, what do you think though? Is the A plus mozzarella stick enough to defeat the reigning defending undisputed champion of snacks, the Space Dunk Oreo with the marshmallow cream in two tones and the popping candy pop rocks inside?
Okay, so in my opinion, as much as I love mozzarella sticks, I feel like it's a no, just because when you go out to eat at a restaurant, these are more of a meal than a snack.
You think a mozzarella stick is a meal, huh?
More of a meal than a snack.
It's a more substantial portion than a snack? Interesting, interesting.
I feel like if you're having mozzarella sticks, like three mozzarella sticks to three Space Dunk Oreos, if you're just like, and I can't even do like an out in front of you because they don't, mozzarella sticks don't, I don't think of them as a snack.
Wow, interesting. That's, I think you are diverging a little bit here from what everybody else probably thinks from the popular sentiment. I will say you are spot on about the sort of fullness of having too many of these. Because,
like the proportion.
Yeah, so that was that's the joke at the cold open of the show, which was ripped from a Twitter meme. You would probably not grab three or four string cheeses and just eat them all at once.
Down them.
Right, exactly. But it seems appropriate to do that with a plate of mozzarella sticks that you get as an appetizer. I mean, when we go out to dinner at the pizza place and we get mozzarella sticks, I will usually have two mozzarella sticks before my meal comes.
Yeah.
And that seems a little bit extravagant now that I think back on it. Yeah. So you're saying no, Space Dunk Oreos retains.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what you're saying. You know what? That's what I'm going to say too. Mozzarella sticks are great. I think the Space Dunk Oreo is a more consistent application and a more novel treat. And I think probably it gets the nod here. Also,
especially
because
since it's like a junk food kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, these are a fried stick of cheese pretty is pretty junky. Yeah, I'm not going to lie there. But yeah, this is a tough one. This is actually an interesting toss-up because we have two things that are so different from each other. I will say though, the variability in the mozzarella sticks does not play in its favor because these from Applebee's were good, but not great. And I wanted them to be great.
I feel like if we did like a cheese stick, that's like a snack for me. But
sure.
When it's a mozzarella stick, it just seems like
when it's fried and has a dipping sauce,
like
it
fancier.
Puts it over the top.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I guess we have to say then, Alyssa, that our winner and still reigning defending undisputed champion of snacks is the Space Dunk Oreo, the underdog. Continues to roll through. Alyssa, and speaking of Oreos and the Oreo rule, we don't have anything for the Oreo rule today, although I did see the gluten-free golden Oreos on shelves if we want to do a side-by-side comparison one day. What do you think?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Liz, each week we ask a very important question on this show. Can you deep fry this week's snack? Will it deep fry?
Obviously.
Obviously, and of course, these are already deep fried. And in fact, Alyssa, we probably have the humble mozzarella stick to thank for the current fad of deep frying, everything, and of course, this segment as well, because once deep frying technology evolved to allow compact and efficient fryers in every sports bar and bowling alley kitchen, inventive cooks started proving to themselves that if they could fry cheese sticks, then they could fry anything at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, so cheers to you, mozzarella sticks. You didn't win the big one today, but you're a real one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say RIP to a real one, but they're still going
dead.
Strong. That's right. They're not dead. You know what's not dead, Liz?
Unfortunately, the back of the box.
That's right. It's time to check out the back of the box, a weekly segment where we play a little game. This week's segment is a trip to Mount Crunchmore.
Yeah.
Liz, on a trip to Mount Crunchmore, we rank our top four foodstuffs in a specific category. Today on a trip to Mount Crunchmore, Liz, it's our top four bowling alley snacks.
Yeah.
You like bowling?
Not really.
I don't either. It's an interesting pastime. I respect bowlers. Your mom likes bowling. Did you know that? Yeah. Your mom used to bowl in a league with Grammy and her aunts and uncles and cousins. Some of them serious bowlers, like with 300-point games to their
nerd credit. Alert, nerd alert, nerd alert.
Yeah, you say that, but I'd like to see you bowl a 300.
My bowling skills are top tier.
It is a legitimate.
It's all in the jeans.
It's all in the jeans. Yeah, the apple bottom jeans.
Oh, boots with the fur.
It is a legitimate thing to be proud of, obviously, to bowl a 300 game. That is an accomplishment. And Liz, bowling people are fascinating because there is like this entire subculture of bowling people, but it's a hobby that can only happen in a very single, very specific place, which is a bowling alley.
Yeah.
And it's not like most people don't have a bowling alley at their house. It's like we've got a basketball hoop in the driveway.
Yeah.
Nobody has a bowling alley in the driveway for the most part.
Yeah.
Like very rich people have bowling alleys at their houses, but probably they don't use them if I had to guess.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that you don't notice people talking about. You said there's one kid at school that likes bowling, but there's not like groups of kids that get together and talk about bowling the way they talk about video games.
Yeah, like everyone's so hyped about Fortnite and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So like, you know, you might see somebody wearing a bowling shirt, but
you're not going to go around wearing this.
Right. That's not popular like in the way that a sports jersey is. And it's sort of like a punchline to get a bowling ball as a gift. Like, you know, like the old man in the Christmas story, for example.
This sweatshirt was going like crazy. This one.
A Fortnite sweatshirt.
And it like zips up over the face.
Uh-huh. It's a llama.
And it's, oh my goodness. It was driving me crazy because it was so cringy.
All the kids at school have the Fortnite llama sweatshirt.
So cringy. Oh my gosh.
But none of them are wearing bowling shirts probably, right?
Except for DJ.
Shout out to DJ. Because
you're a real one.
That's right. Because being a bowling guy, Liz, puts you in league. See what I did there? Bowling league.
Good job.
With guys like Homer Simpson or Al Bundy, who were sort of chastised or made fun of for being bowling fans. But anyway, Liz, I don't like bowling.
Yeah, me either.
I don't like wearing the bowling shoes.
Oh my gosh, they make me look like a clown.
Yeah, they're clown shoes. They're very embarrassing. I don't like being up on a literal stage because that's what a bowling alley is. You're like raised up on a stage from where everyone sits down and they're all watching you while you're making your approach and probably failing to do something that seems very simple, which is just, hey, roll this ball in a straight line and it never goes the way that you want it to. And then there's like all the weird music and the birthday parties and the lasers and black lights and the weird little animations on the screen. Like, hey, there's a turkey. You got three in a row. There's a turkey. And then there's always like a problem with the bowling lane. You got to call the attendant and the ball gets stuck and you got to type your name into the little computer. The whole thing, whole experience is obnoxious to me.
Yeah.
I'll do it. Like if there's a kid's birthday party at a bowling alley.
It's so overwhelming for no reason.
That's right. There's a lot going on. But Liz.
Terrible. And the arcade is so dirty. Oh my goodness.
Oh, see, I like the bowling alley arcades. Actually, quick story.
They're so dirty.
Alyssa, quick story about a bowling alley. We were talking earlier about the swim club. The swim club that we went to was next to a bowling alley. And Philadelphia Phillies relief pitcher Mitch Williams, after he was on the team, married the daughter of the bowling alley owner. So Mitch Williams was usually hanging out at the bowling alley and we would like go see him and hang out and he would sign autographs for us little kids, which was really cool. But they also, Liz, had video games there. And at that bowling alley, they had NBA Jam and they had Mortal Kombat. And when those games came out, those were the top two video games in the world for arcades. And it was a big deal to play them. That was like when they started to be 50 cents to play instead of just one quarter. It was a big deal. But you know what else was a big deal, Liz?
What?
The snacks at the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Bowling alleys usually have a snack bar of some sort, and they're mostly like pushing frozen and reheated bulk snacks that they got from Sam's Club or something like that. But for whatever reason, they usually taste a little bit better when you get them at a bowling alley instead of like if you would just make them at home, you know?
You know what's actually funny?
What's that?
Bowling alley pizza is kind of good.
You love bowling alley pizza. You love Blaze's pizza, which is just, I think, just junk bowling alley pizza.
Yeah.
Well, Liz, I think there's something to this. And it's like you're going to a place that you don't identify with food, really. It's a bowling alley. You're there to bowl, not to eat. And yet there is food there. So it's sort of like a forbidden treat.
I go everywhere to eat.
Well, I guess that's true.
I don't care what the occasion is. I'm eating. Have you seen that video? And it's the little boy and he's like, I eat all the chicken, everything my mom makes. Oh, I eat it all up.
Well, he sounds like a smart kid. Liz,
he's on Ellen. Oh, so.
He would probably enjoy going to a bowling alley and bonus points, like you said, if there's an arcade there or a counter in the snack bar with some old stools and a Miller Genuine Draft neon sign. And there's a TV nearby and it's got a baseball game on. So Liz.
What?
While you're doing that. Mount Crunchmore, top four bowling alley snacks for you.
Wait, actually, you go first.
Well, you said pizza already, so that's not really on my list. But I'll say mozzarella sticks for sure. I'll say cheese fries, Alyssa. Not just French fries, but cheese fries. That's sort of like a guilty pleasure that you would get there.
Yeah.
Then, I'll say pretzel bites. Not just a soft pretzel, but like little pretzel bites. And here you go. Here's the kicker for me. The bottom boy in the stable. Mini tacos, Alyssa. The mini tacos, which I don't think are very good overall. And when we get them at home and you heat them up, you're like, why did I get these? But if you get a little plate of mini tacos at a bowling alley, it feels so special for some reason. We always said,
right.
Yeah, tiny foods are fun. Tiny tacos, even more fun. Tiny tacos at a bowling alley, 3x the fun. Turkey, what's your top four, Liz?
I'm going the pizza.
Obviously.
Can I go lemonade?
Sure. Bowling alley lemonade. Why not?
Lemonade. And then I'll go tater tots.
Tater tots. Wow. Strong.
And then maybe mozzarella sticks.
And mozzarella sticks. So we both had the mozzarella sticks in common. We did like them.
Yeah.
I would say that's an excellent way to cap off the show, Liz.
Yes.
And this podcast should reach you in excellent condition, satisfaction guaranteed, or your money back. If you've got a question for us, you can write to the address on the label. That's junkfeudpod@gmail.com. Alyssa.
Yes.
Any final thoughts for this week?
No.
Well, at least you thought about it this time. This podcast has contained your recommended daily allowance of fun. For more, go to X, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, or wherever you choose to be social and find us at Junk Feud Pod. You can watch fun-sized reviews on YouTube, buy our merch on TeePublic, and don't forget to catch all the snaction each and every week wherever you listen to podcasts. Until we see you again, for Alyssa, I'm Mike.
Pasta lasagna.
Don't get any on ya.
Bye.